الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا محمد، وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, my young friends, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of the universe, our creator, our nourisher, our protector. And we begin by sending peace and salutations upon his beloved messenger, Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. I have a question for you today, and that is, how many people have been missing their friends? How many people have been missing their friends? It appears that one of the reasons that, inshallah, many of my young friends have been wanting to go back to school in person and not online is so that they are able to see their friends again. Now, of course, they want to study as well, and I know there are those who have been missing the opportunity to study in person with their teachers. But I think a major part of it is actually being able to see friends again in person. Because one of the things that many children and even adults have been missing is socialization. And with the easing of restrictions, we know that, you know, social activity has gradually increased over the last 6 months, but overall it's not at pre-pandemic levels. So, you know, some people, depending on the family and their situation and their views, you know, some people may still be quite careful about, you know, having people inside their home who are not part of their family or their household. Others maybe not so much. Perhaps we have been, you know, meeting outside, especially during the summer in parks or in backyards, you know, in outdoor places. But there's no doubt that the level of socialization we had before the pandemic started, overall, it's not at the same level because of the existing restrictions. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us human beings as social beings. Right? We need socialization. We are social beings. That's why, you know, we are part of families. And we crave, for the most part, most people, you know, crave friends or socialization, to have someone to talk to spend time with, you know, to meet different people and to discuss different things and to play together, spend time together, do activities together. So generally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us as social beings, and most people need to have some friends or at least some people to socialize with. Now, regardless of whether, you know, we are truly friends in person, because of course we know there are different types of friends. There are people who are, you know, your true friends. You have people who claim to be your friends, but then they're not really your friends when you really need them. There are people who become friends online. Perhaps you've never even met them. And so in some instances, you know, if those friendships are genuine, it's great when you actually get to meet in person. You know, if that person is a good person and, you know, there's no danger to you and you've gotten to know them, it can be a great thing. However, it can also be very risky as well, because many times people portray themselves as something else online, and in reality, it's a completely different reality, to the point where, you know, there's a great risk for children online, because sometimes there are people who pretend to be children their age, who pretend to have the same or similar interests, but in reality, it is someone very different behind the screen. It might be, you know, an adult, an elder. It could be someone who's you know, of a different gender in a different place. So people online may be completely misrepresenting who they actually are. So this also presents a great risk and a great danger, especially to young people. But the point is that regardless of whether we are truly friends in person, you know, or you say it's your BFF, BFL, you know, your besties, or your friends online, the point is that friends can have tremendous influence upon you. Your friends can have a tremendous, and often will have a tremendous influence upon you. If a person says that they grew up without any influence from anyone, you know, that likely won't be accurate. If a person says, no, I grew up and nobody influenced me, I didn't socialize with anyone, yeah, I had some friends, but I didn't really care about them, you know, for most people, that would be an inaccurate statement. But of course, you know, our parents, our siblings have an influence upon us. But as we grow up, we're not with our parents and our siblings all the time. Right? Yes, maybe during the pandemic, you have to have stayed with your parents and your siblings, you know, with your family. But the reality is that when we're growing up and through the course of life, we don't spend our entire lives with our parents and with our siblings. We interact with other people as well. And more often than not, a good portion of our life is spent with our friends. And even if the time that we spend with them isn't that much, okay, so maybe, you know, you're someone who doesn't spend too much time with your friends. I know some people spend a lot of time with their friends. But maybe you're someone who doesn't really spend that much time. Just know that there is much to gain and to lose with our friends. Right? So even if the time is not that much, the influence of that relationship, of that friendship, can be tremendous. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us that innama mathalul jalis as-salihi wal jalis as-su'i ka hamil al-miski wa nafikh al-kif. The example, right, the parable of a good friend and a bad friend. So here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us that, you know, there's going to be different types of friends. There's going to be good friends, jalis as-salih wal jalis as-su', right? There will be bad friendships, right? So there will be these types of people, you know, these types of friendships that people will end up having. The Prophet ﷺ gave the example of the carrier of musk, right? So nice perfume. And a blacksmith. Blacksmith is a person who works with iron, right? Metal, makes things, you know, and by burning them, by making them hot. So works with fire and, you know, and things that, you know, get burned, get black, there's smoke, there's fire. So the Prophet ﷺ said that the carrier of musk will give you some, or you will buy some, or you will notice a good smell. Okay, so if you, the example of your friend is like the carrier of musk, like someone who carries perfume, deals in perfume, so what will happen? That they will give you some, or perhaps if they're not that close, they won't give you, but you will buy some from them. Or at the very least, you will notice a good smell. So they don't give you any, you don't buy any from them, but you are in a good environment. It will smell nice, right? It will be a good person to be around. But as for the blacksmith, right, because he's working with fire and smoke in that type of environment, you will burn your clothes or you will notice a bad smell. So either it will have an impact on you, meaning you will get burned, your clothes will get burned, or at the very least, you will notice a bad smell, right? So the environment that you're going to be in is going to be not so great. It's not going to be very pleasant. Now, of course, this is just to give an example. You know, there's nothing against blacksmiths. And, you know, blacksmiths can be very honorable and good people. They can give you gifts as well. You know, this summer, I had the opportunity to visit Upper Canada Village. And while at Upper Canada Village, there was actually a blacksmith who was working there. As part of the village, as part of the experience. And he's a very friendly gentleman. You know, I tried to say salam. He was not Muslim or Arab, but, you know, he said salam and tried to welcome us and even made a little, you know, a little hook as a little gift and gave it to us as well. So nothing against blacksmiths, and they can give you gifts as well. But yes, the environment that a blacksmith is working in, right, and this is, of course, just an example, is one of smoke and heat and fire and soot. You know, which is, you know, can get dirty and can cause damage. So the point is that if you keep around people who are into burning, right, what does burning signify? Causing damage, right, and destruction to people, to property, to the dignity of people, right, who are into, you know, disregard of the guidance of subhanahu wa ta'ala and rules and regulations, they will end up hurting you too, right? So this is an example, right, to say that if you're around such people, if you have company, if you have friends that are into these types of things, right, into causing destruction, who have disregard, who cause, you know, who give off negativity, or who are a negative influence in society, in the community, in the world, then you too will end up getting hurt, right? Either you will get hurt, or if they smell bad, meaning in terms of their character, right, it is bad, their attitudes are bad, they are negative, they are toxic, then you too will get impacted. Right, so the whole point here is that the type of environment we put ourselves in, the type of people we put ourselves around, they will have an impact on us, right? And if they are negative, if the environment is negative, it's toxic, it's smelly, then that will have an impact on us as well. right? And of course, if the environment is positive, then the opposite impact will be there as well. And this happens all the time. We find, you know, bad friends, you know, who are into doing bad things to others, and eventually at some point that same happens to them, right? You can find numerous examples. Maybe you can think of some in your own life as well, of people you dealt with or people that you knew, that, you know, they were into doing things which were bad to others, right? They had bad character, they were doing things, they were into doing things which were negative, which were wrong to others, but eventually they turn on themselves. Eventually it actually happened to them as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. At the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was a man by the name of Uqba ibn Abi Mu'ayt. And he was one of the chieftains, one of the chiefs of the mushrikeen, of the polytheists in Mecca. And it was customary with him that whenever he would return after an expedition, he used to invite the nobility of the city to dinner, right? So the noble individuals of the city, he would invite them to dinner. And he would also used to call upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam frequently as well. When he presented food to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to him that, "I cannot eat your food until you proclaim that Allah is one and that no one can be associated with him in worship and that I am his Rasul." Right? Essentially, until you declare the Shahada. So Uqba recited the Shahada, and then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ate the dinner according to his promise. Right? So he had promised him that, if, you know, I'm not going to eat until you declare the Shahada, you know. And so that was a condition that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam set. And it is said that, you know, Uqba didn't like, you know, to have any animosity or negativity. So he wanted the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to take part in his dinner. So he recited the Shahada, he declared the Shahada. Now, his friend Ubay bin Khalaf, he was one of the staunchest enemies of Islam and of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he got word of this, that his friend Uqba had actually accepted Islam, or had at least, you know, recited the Shahada. So he got word of this and he was enraged. He could not believe it. You know, how could my friend, because remember, he was one of the staunchest enemies of Islam and of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he couldn't believe it, that his friend, his close friend Uqba, had actually done this, had actually said that, you know, he accepted Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, and that that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was his messenger. So he couldn't believe that. So Ubay came running to Uqba, saying that, "Have you turned away from the religion of your forefathers, O Uqba? Have you actually done this? Have you turned away?" So Uqba tried to defend himself by explaining that, you know, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was an eminent person of the Quraysh. Now, if he had returned without having his meal at his place, it would have been very degrading for Uqba. He would have felt bad, it would have looked bad. So therefore, in order to please the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had just repeated that the sentence, meaning the words of the Shahada. Now, Ubay ibn Khalaf did not accept this explanation. And he asked Uqba to do something terrible, especially to anyone, but especially to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which was to go and to spit on the holy face of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if he was truly ashamed about what he had done. Okay, so you can see that, of course, here the consequences and the action itself is terrible, very serious. But you can see how peer pressure works, right? Friend is upset. Now, how could you do this? Challenges a person. You know, we know that people exchange dares as well and take them very, very seriously. So it's something along those lines where he says, okay, if you really didn't mean it, if you really feel bad about what you did, because I'm so upset and this was wrong what you did, therefore you go and you do this terrible act. Now, Uqba didn't want to lose his friend in Ubay. So he stood at the corner where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was going to pass by, and it is said that he did what Ubay had wanted him to do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala disgraced him in this world, and of course he will be disgraced in the hereafter as well. But after he had done this evil action, the commentators of the Quran say, the Mufassirun say, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed these verses, وَيَوْمَ يَعَضُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَىٰ يَدَيْهِ يَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي اتَّخَذْتُ مَعَ الرَّسُولِ سَبِيلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about that day that the wrongdoer will bite at his hand, you know, will bite at his hand out of regret, and he will say that, "Oh, would that I had taken a straight path with the messenger." At that point, he's going to regret that he had actually done this action. And even though he had expressed, you know, or testified to Islam, at least by tongue, you know, he had come this close, but yet it was the friend who had then led him astray from that, or the friend who had, you know, acted as a source of demotivation, or a source of turning away from what he had already declared. Ya waylata laytani lam attakhidh fulanan khalila. Ah, woe be to me, woe is me, would that I had never taken such a person, such a one for a friend. Right? So on that day, on the day of judgment, right, he will be regretting the fact that he had this friendship with this person. لَقَدْ أَضَلَّنِي عَنِ الذِّكْرِ بَعْدَ إِذْ جَاءَنِي وَكَانَ الشَّيْطَانُ لِلْإِنسَانِ خَذُولًا. He will say that he led me astray from the Messenger of Allah after it had come to me. Right? After the message had come to me, from the message of Allah, he led me astray from the message of Allah after it had come to me. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed, shaitan is but a disgracer, betrayer to man, to the human being, right, to the insan. So the message of Allah had come to him, he had declared it with his tongue, yet because of this wretched friend of his, right, this evil friend of his, because of this evil friendship, he, you know, that became a means for him to turn away from that which he had come to him, meaning the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which he had even declared with his tongue, and he turned back on that simply because of peer pressure, simply because of this friend that he had. The scholars of Quran who relate this story, they say that these verses are not limited to Uqbah. It's not just limited to Uqbah, right? And the point of the lessons and the stories that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, yes, many times they were revealed for a specific incident, but there are lessons there to be learned, right, for all of time. And here, right, the scholars say that it could apply to anyone who is influenced by bad friends. Anyone who is turned away from the truth, whose friends act as a barrier to reaching goodness and to reaching the truth, right? That person will regret, or could be regretting on the day of judgment, that they had taken such friends. Right? Because in this world, we fall into pressure. We fall into following our friends and, you know, the pressures that are around us, even for things, many times, unfortunately, which are wrong. Right? And during this moment in this world, we seem like it's not a big deal. Or perhaps it seems like we're doing the right thing. But on the day of judgment, right, on the day of judgment, a person who has taken wrong decisions because of their friends, who has taken wrong, who has made wrong choices and taken wrong turns because of their friends, they will be regretting that friendship on the day of judgment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. Now, the story of Uqbah may seem extreme, but that's exactly what negative peer pressure is, right? Which comes from friends many times, because the person wants to maintain good relations with their friends, right? You want to be part of that social circle. You want to be in, you want to be accepted. You don't want to be, you know, made fun of or to be left out, right? So that pressure is immense, that pressure of trying to maintain friendships and relationships. And if a close friend, you know, wants you to do something and applies a bit of pressure, there's a good chance that you're going to end up doing it, right? That's just the way friendships work, right? If you're really good friends with someone, you're close to someone, and they put pressure upon you, right, to do something, and even if you don't want to do it, if they put a lot, you know, some pressure, especially if they put exerting a lot of pressure, there's a good chance you're going to end up doing it. And even if it's not direct peer pressure, what your friends are like and what they do will rub off on you in some way, right? Because it's the environment that you're in, it's the things that you're exposed to, it's the type of things that you're hearing and that you're seeing, the types of things that they're sharing now, especially on social media, right? So those things will have an impact on you, right? Whether you like it or not, your company, your environment will have an impact on you. Just as if a person is living in an extremely polluted place, right, where there is a lot of smog and a lot of pollution in the air, right, where the water is dirty and the air that they're breathing is dirty, and the vegetables that are growing, the fruits that are growing in the environment are dirty, are tainted, right? That will have an impact on that person's health, right? Simply by virtue of them living and operating in that environment. So similarly, when we have bad company around us, right, when we lack positive company around us, then that too will have an impact on us, even if it's not direct. So the question is, if your friends, you know, are going somewhere and they pressure you to go with them, are you able to say no? Right? And even if there's no pressure, are you able to say no to your friends? Now, are you able to stand up for what you believe in and what you believe is right? Or do you feel pressure, either directly or indirectly, to go along with your friends? Will your friends be respectful of your choices? Or will they make fun of your choices? Right? That's a question I always ask myself. That if a person who claims to be my friend cannot respect my choices and my beliefs, then they don't deserve to be my friend. They don't deserve to be my friend, right? Because if they can't respect who I am, if they can't respect my choices, my preferences, and my beliefs, then why should I be their friend, right? Why should I give them my friendship? If they're using bad language, you know, if they're backbiting about others, if they're gossiping about others, if they're involved in illicit relationships, if they're involved in consuming, you know, illicit substances, watching things which are haram, you know, talking about things which are haram, there's a good chance that you're going to become a part of it too, right? Even if they're not telling you to do it, but they're just doing it in your presence and you're hanging out with them and you're exposed to that and you're seeing them do it and you are considering yourself to be their friends, then there's a good chance you'll also become a part of it as well. If not right away, then gradually. And it's not just for children, right? Adults too. We have, I mean, this story of Uqba is of course, you know, a story which had to do with adults, right? Uqba and Ubay were not children, right? That was peer pressure of adults. So adults are very much, you know, at risk of this as well. Pressure from coworkers, from your peers, from your relatives, from your friends, right? All of that is a reality. And in some cases, you know, the corrupted beliefs and attitudes of friends has turned people into criminals, you know, even murderers, you know, and has also negatively influenced their faith as well, right? There's some very, very tragic stories, you know, of young people who are growing up, who in their childhood were, mashallah, you know, were good kids. They weren't in trouble. And as they were growing up, especially as they're going through their teen years, especially when that big switch comes from middle school to high school, and as they're going through that those tumultuous years, well, they're tumultuous for most youth, you know, a lot of things that are going on, they end up with the wrong crowd, right? They end up being taken advantage of, even in some cases, right? Terrible crimes, even against their own family members, right? Due to the influence of their friends, right? And of course, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us that al-mar'u ala dini khalili, falyanzur ahadukum man yukhal, that a person is upon the deen, right, upon the religion, the path, the way of life of his close friend. So beware of whom you befriend. Beware, pay attention to who you are making your friends. Because whoever you're making your friends, you are giving them a pass. You are giving them a ticket to influence you. Okay, so you look at the types of people, pay attention. And who are you getting close to? Who are you spending time with? Because those are the people who you are most likely going to become like. Those are the people whose actions will rub off on you and you will start believing and acting like them as well. So this means that a person will be upon the same methodology, the same ideology, right? Similar beliefs, way of life as their friend, the same path as their friend. So be very, very careful about whom you befriend. We also have the example of Abu Talib, the dear uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who helped him so much, who helped the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tremendously, right? Who protected him. He was a rock for him, essentially. Okay, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Talib, right? Great man in terms of his contributions to protecting the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and helping the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yet, on his deathbed, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam found out that he was on his deathbed, that he was likely going to pass. Prophet ﷺ rushed there and out of compassion, out of love, out of mercy, kindly encouraged him just to say La ilaha illallah, right? To accept that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one and that He is the Messenger of Allah. Few words that could have changed his fate forever. Subhanallah. Prophet ﷺ told us, Man qala La ilaha illallah dakhala al-jannah. Right? A person who says La ilaha illallah entered to Jannah. Right? So just a few words. You know, something that he would just have to say, seemingly very simple, but change his fate, you know, drastically in the hereafter. And so he pleaded with him, Ya Ammi, قُلْ لَا إِلَهَا إِلَّا اللَّهِ كَلِمَةً أَشْهَدُ لَكَ بِهَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. You know, please. So he pleaded with him, Oh my uncle, say لا إله إلا الله. You know, this is, so, but it was the pressure from his close friends. It was pressure from his close friends. Who? Abu Jahl, those type of friends, right? Enemies of Islam that taunted him and alas, he didn't accept. You know, that risk of doing something which will offend the friends and leave, you know, a legacy of this betrayal of friendship forever. That is what seemingly held back Abu Talib from reciting La ilaha illallah. And he died in that state without saying La ilaha illallah. So a terribly, you know, sad state of affairs, a sad end for someone who had, you know, done so much and had so much potential and was so close. But because of that, those relationship, because of that friendship, mainly, right, we find that that acted as a barrier. Now, peer pressure, of course, can be positive too. So if your friends, if your acquaintances, if you have good company and they're doing something positive, mashallah, you know, they're praying on time, they have good manners, they're coming to the masjid, they're staying away from trouble. And mashallah, I've seen, you know, young people like that. You know, I witnessed myself. Mashallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of our youngsters, all of our youth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect them all. And you have seen, you know, young guys, mashallah, who are, you know, they vowed themselves that Saturday mornings they're going to come to the masjid. Saturday mornings they're going to come to the masjid for Fajr. Now, if a group of youth are coming to the masjid for Fajr on Saturday, what does that mean? It means that they're out of trouble on Friday night. Otherwise, they wouldn't be coming to the masjid for Fajr by themselves, willingly wanting to come and then wanting to study something afterwards. You know, I've seen young people like that in university, mashallah. You know, I'm sure there's many other examples as well. So if you make good friends, if you find good company, that can elevate a person. You know, they've been friends who came together in university and they all decided after they graduate, they want to go study Islam. And they all did that, mashallah. You know, so, and of course, you know, you can find numerous examples, boys and girls as well. So if you find your good company and you are together, then that could be a great influence as well to do good things and to become a better person. So point is that if you have good friends, either they'll give you something beneficial, or you'll give something and they'll give you something, or at the very least, you're going to stay away from trouble. Even if you don't gain much, at the very least, you're going to stay away from trouble. And if you have bad friends, if you have evil friends, you will get burned one way or the other. And at the very least, your character, your faith, your intellect, your behavior, your attitude will all look and smell and feel bad, right? Because if you're around people who stink, and I don't mean physically any stink, you know, like whose character is bad, right, whose behavior is bad, then you're going to start stinking as well, right? And same thing goes online as well, because, you know, oftentimes we think of friends that are that we have face-to-face contact with, but even online friends, right? If you are around bad people, right, and your friends are bad online, you're following people who are into bad things, then your news feed is going to be filled with bad things. Those are the alerts you're going to be getting. Those are the notifications you're going to be getting. You're going to be seeing inappropriate and dirty comments and material and pictures and all types of things and thoughts, and that is going to influence you most likely, right? They will have an effect on you. So my brothers and sisters, a few things. So first of all, do an audit of your friends. Now, are they helping you become better, right? Your friends, the people you are around, are they helping you become better, or are they the types of friends that are discourage you from doing good things, right? Which type of people are you around? Do they encourage you? This is a simple question to answer for yourself. Do they encourage you to do good, or do they encourage you to do bad? Right? Are they respectful of your beliefs or not? Secondly, when you get together, what do you do? What are the things that you do? What do you talk about? Are the things that people don't want to hear about, that, you know, you don't want people to hear about? Are you doing things that, you know, are you doing things and talking about things that you don't want other people to know about? What are the things that they're involved in? Right? Are these things that you're ashamed of telling others, especially for younger people, your parents, your teachers, right? Is it something that you're ashamed of, that you don't want people to find out about? And I also think, how can you encourage your friends towards positive and good and clean things? Because sometimes within a group of friends, yes, maybe someone will have a bad idea, someone will have an evil thought, no one's perfect, right? But it's the job of good friends to help guide one another, to help support one another, right, to the best of their ability, to guide a person away from making wrong choices, right, to try to help them make the right choices. In the end, the most important question is, are you going to be happy that you had these friends in this life on the Day of Judgment? Or are you going to regret and be upset at them for all the trouble that they got you into when you were around them? Right? On the day of judgment, when you think of your friends, on the day of judgment, are you going to be glad that they were your friends, or are you going to be biting your hand and regret? Ya waylata laytani lamattakhid fulanan khalila, saying those type of words, regretting that you had taken someone as your friends. And for parents, you know, of course, try to have good company yourselves. Be on the lookout for changes in behavior, right? Pay attention to the types of friends that your child is hanging out with. And be proactive before things get out of hand, right? Whatever steps need to be taken. If something's not working, you need to fix it. What's the saying? If it's not broken, don't fix it. Okay, if it's fine, alhamdulillah. But if it's not working, keeping status quo is not going to help the situation, right? So whether it's changing schools or neighborhoods or your social circle or whatever is possible, all options need to be on the table. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Inshallah, let's make dua. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma laka alhamdu kulluhu wa laka ash-shukru kulluhu. Wa ilayka yurja'u al-amru kulluhu. Ala niyatuhu wa sirruhu. اللهم لك الحمد حتى ترضى ولك الحمد إذا رضيت ولك الحمد بعد الرضا اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم والله please bless us with good company and surround us with good people يا رب العالمين والله please protect us from evil company and evil companions يا رب العالمين والله please beautify our conduct our attitudes our beliefs with the beauty of iman يا رب العالمين والله please guide those who are on the path of misguidance and harm يا رب العالمين O Allah, our youth, our children, adults, O Allah, whoever is on the path of misguidance, O Allah, please guide them to guidance, Ya Rabbil Alameen. O Allah, please cure all of our brothers and sisters of all types of illnesses, whether they are spiritual or physical or mental, Ya Rabbil Alameen. O Allah, please cure all of our brothers and sisters who are sick, who are physically sick, especially our elder sister who is suffering from illness and pain, our brother and sister who are suffering from long-term pain and injuries, all of those who are ill or at risk of becoming ill. Just heard about the mother of our dear mother Rahil, who is once again ill. O Allah, you are the protector and healer. O Allah, please grant them a speedy recovery, Ya Rabbil Alameen. O Allah, please protect them and all of us from all types of illnesses and pain and suffering, and grant them a state of peace, Ya Rabbil Alameen. O Allah, please grant relief to all of those who are in pain, all of those who are in grief, all of those who are facing stress and anxiety. O Allah, please replace all of these worries with happiness and peace and joy, Ya Rabbil Alameen. اللهم اغفر لجميع موتى المسلمين الذين شهدوا لك بالوحدانية ولنبيك بالرسالة وماتوا على ذلك اللهم اغفر لهم وارحمهم وعافهم واعف عنهم واكرم نزلهم ووسع مدخلهم واغسلهم بالماء والثلج والبرد ونقهم كما ينقى الثوب الأبيض من الدنس اللهم أنت ربنا لا إله إلا أنت خلقتنا ونحن عبيدك ونحن على عهدك ووعدك ما استطعنا نعوذ بك من شر ما صنعنا نبوء لك بنعمتك علينا ونبوء بذنوبنا فاغفر لنا إنه لا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من الفتن ما ظهر منها وما بطن اللهم إنا نسألك فعل الخيرات وترك المنكرات وحب المساكين وأن تغفر لنا وترحمنا وإذا أردت فتنة في قوم فتوفنا غير مفتونين يا رب العالمين اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها اللهم إنا نسألك موجبات رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك والغنيمة من كل بر والسلامة من كل إثم والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك والنار اللهم أزبغ علينا لباس الصحة والعافية واجعلها عونا لنا على طاعتك ومرضاتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية والمعافاة الدائمة في الدين والدنيا والآخرة اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان واجعلنا من الراشدين اللهم ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من قلب لا يخشع ودعاء لا يسمع ومن نفس لا تشبع ومن علم لا ينفع يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم اشف مرضانا اللهم اشفهم شفاء عاجلا كاملا من كل داء اللهم اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم اللهم حرر المسجونين المظلومين خصوصا في بلاد المسلمين يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم ألف بين قلوب المسلمين ووحد صفوفهم واصلح قادتهم واجمع كلمتهم على الحق يا رب العالمين اللهم أصلح أحوال المسلمين في كل مكان اللهم حرر فلسطين والمسجد الأقصى يا رب العالمين اللهم احفظ وانصر إخواننا وأخواتنا في كل مكان خصوصا في بورما وفي فلسطين وفي الصين وفي كشمير وفي الهند وسريلانكا وفي سوريا وفي العراق وفي اليمن وفي سومان وفي سودان وفي أفغانستان وفي باكستان وفي كل مكان اللهم انصر المستضعفين في كل مكان وحقق لهم النصر والفتح المبين يا رب العالمين صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين Brothers and sisters who are at home, please go ahead and offer four rak'ah of Salat al-Dhuhr or if you have registered for Friday prayer, please come at your allotted time, inshallah, tonight. We'll be having a family game night at 7:45 p.m. Everyone is welcome. Please do log on with your families at 7:45 after Salat al-Maghrib, inshallah, at canadamuslims.ca/live. You will be able to find the link there. Look forward to seeing you, inshallah. JazakAllah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.